As we closed up our study last week, we were in the book of Obadiah, where God was warning the people of Edom that they were facing judgment over their celebration that Judah had been destroyed, that Jerusalem had been destroyed, and that the temple had been destroyed. And therefore, Edom was going to also face judgment and destruction and exile. Then we shifted over to Jeremiah chapter 48, where we saw a similar warning given to Moab for them celebrating over the destruction of Judea and Jerusalem in 587 BC. Today we're going to pick up in chapter 48 at verse number 11 and continue this look at Moab's warnings, but then we'll pull in similar warnings given to their brother nation, the Ammonites. Remember, the Moabites and the Ammonites are descendants of Lot through his daughters in an incestuous relationship. So here we go. Jeremiah 48:11. Moab has been at ease from his youth and has settled on his dregs. He's not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into exile, so his taste remains in him. His scent has not changed. This is making a reference to the way that wine was taken care of in the ancient world. Over time, the sediment of the winemaking process would be there in the original container. And so they would take off the liquid and move it to another container. And this apparently helped preserve the age of the wine over time. Well, Moab has not really been hit hard by judgment since its inception. That's what's being suggested here. And so it's like it's sitting in its original container. Well, that's going to change very soon. Verse 12, "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares he who is, when I shall send to him pourers who will pour him, and empty his vessels, and break his jars in pieces." Meaning, pretty soon the Babylonians are going to come. They are going to empty at least part of the population out of the land, take them into exile. And they will end up breaking all the places where they've been living all these centuries. Verse 13, "Then Moab shall be ashamed of Chemosh, as the house of Israel was ashamed of Bethel, their confidence." Chemosh means destroyer. It was the name of the Moabite god. He was parallel to Molech, the king god of the Ammonites. And this goes back to the origin story of both these nations. It was an incestuous relationship that took place right after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The two daughters got dad drunk, got impregnated by him, and that's how these nations got started. So this gets into their religion by the fact that from time to time, perhaps on the anniversary of either the birth of these two boys, Moab and Ben-Ammi, or perhaps on the anniversary of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in the cities of the plain, they will get drunk, they will have sexual relations with the intention of getting pregnant, and the babies that were conceived the last round are treated as human sacrifices in this latest worship time. And it was an abomination. And it's one of the reasons that the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah went into exile, because they started using this same sort of worship called passing through the fire. So Moab will in future be just as ashamed of their Chemosh religion as the Israelis in the northern kingdom were ashamed of their golden calf worship at Bethel. Verse 14, "How do you say, we are heroes and mighty men of war? The destroyer of Moab and his cities has come up, and the choicest of his young men have gone down to slaughter, declares the king, whose name is He Who Is of the Hosts. So there's going to come a time when they won't be able to claim that they are heroic and strong, because they will be butchered. They will be beaten badly. Verse 16, the calamity of Moab is near at hand. His affliction hastens swiftly. Grieve for him, all you who are around him, and all who know his name. Say, oh, how the mighty scepter is broken, that glorious staff. Come down from your glory and sit on the parched ground, O inhabitant of Dibon. Dibon is one of the places inside the country of Moab, and you'll see many places mentioned in this passage. For the destroyer of Moab has come up against you. He has destroyed your strongholds. Stand by the way and watch, O inhabitant of Aroer, O Aroer. Ask him who flees and her who escapes. Say, what's happened? Moab is put to shame, for it is broken. Wail and cry. Tell it beside the Arnon, which was one of the rivers that marked the borderland, that Moab is laid waste. So it will come under the judgment of God at the hands of the Babylonians, and it will be made a desolation. Then we have a whole bunch of the places mentioned here. Judgment has come upon the tableland, upon Holon, and Jazzah, and Mephaat, and Dibon, and Nebo, and Beth Diblathaim, and Kirathaim, and Beth Gamul, Beth Maon, Kiriath Bazra, and all the cities of the land of Moab, far and near. The horn, as in an animal horn, a symbol of strength, the horn of Moab is cut off, and his arm is broken, declares He Who Is. Make him drunk because he magnified himself against He Who Is, so that Moab shall wallow in his vomit, and he too shall be held in derision. Being drunk was one of the symbols of impending defeat. Remember that Jeremiah was supposed to go around and offer a cup of judgment to all these different kingdoms of the Middle East. And then they were supposed to drink it, and that was symbolic of them receiving the judgment of God at the hands of the Babylonians. And you know, of course, getting blind drunk often leads to being sick. And so the picture here is of the aftermath of Moab's judgment. Verse 27, was not Israel a derision to you? Was he found among thieves that whenever you spoke of him, you wagged your head? So one of the problems was Moab was making fun of the fact that the Judeans have now been sent into exile and lost their territory. And before that, the northern kingdom of Israel, same thing, into Assyrian captivity. So what goes around comes around is effectively what's happening here. Verse 28, leave the cities and dwell in the rock, O inhabitants of Moab. Be like doves that nest in the sides of a mouth of a gorge. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud of his loftiness, his pride in his arrogance, and the haughtiness of his heart. I know his insolence, declares He Who Is. His boasts are false. His deeds are false. So no matter how much they self-promoted, no matter how much they talked about how great Moab is and how great the people of Moab are and how strong the country is and how it can resist any type of invaders, that's all garbage. God says, when I send judgment at the hands of the Babylonians, you are going to go down. Verse 31, therefore I wail for Moab, I cry out for all Moab, for the men of Kir Hareseth I mourn. More than for Yazer, I weep for you, O vine of Sibmah. your branches passed over the sea, reached to the sea of Yazer. On your summer fruits and your grapes, the destroyer has fallen. So they used to export things. They used to go farther than their own boundaries. And now all of that is collapsing. Gladness and joy have been taken away from the fruitful land of Moab. I have made the wine cease from the wine presses. No one treads them with joys, shouts of joy. The shouting is not the shout of joy. No, it's the shout of fear and war cry. Verse 34. From the outcry of Heshbon, even to Eleale, as far as Yehaz, they utter their voice from Zoar to Horonaim and Egleth Shalishaliah. For the waters of Nimrim also have become desolate, and I will bring to an end in Moab, declares he who offers a sacrifice in the high place and makes offerings to his God. So idolatry is part of the problem, part of the sin of the Moabites, and that's why they're being brought down by God's judgment at the hands of the Babylonians. Therefore, my heart moans for Moab like a flute, and my heart moans like a flute for the men of Kir Hereshet, and therefore the riches they gained have perished. Now, don't let this fall to the side. Even though God is judging them, he's not happy that he's having to do this, because God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He would rather have everyone repent and come to the knowledge of the truth, including the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites, all the ites of all the world. He wants repentance and salvation to be embraced. Verse 37, for every head is shaved and every beard cut off, something that often happened to captives, exilees. It probably was a shaming procedure, but it may have had a very practical sense of lice control. On all the hands are gashes, and around the waist is sackcloth, which is the cheap clothing, but it's also the clothing that marked sadness. On all the housetops of Moab and in the squares, there's nothing but lamentation. For I have broken Moab like a vessel for which no one cares, declares he who is. How it is broken. How they wail. How Moab has turned his back in shame. So Moab has become a derision and a horror to all that are around him. So there's irony here, because that's actually how they were treating the news about Judah's fall. They were deriding them. And so they're going to become the target of derision themselves. For thus says he who is, behold, one shall fly swiftly like an eagle and spread his wings against Moab. The city shall be taken, the stronghold seized. The heart of the warriors of Moab shall be in that day like the heart of a woman in her birth pangs. Moab shall be destroyed and be no longer a people, because he magnified himself against he who is. Terror, pit, and snare are before you, O inhabitants of Moab, declares he who is. So we're seeing here kind of the last bits of independent Moab, when they are taken away into exile and their country ravaged by the Babylonians. They will not be back to reestablish independent Moab. Like the Israelis, the Judeans will come back and reestablish an independent Judea. It's just not going to be the same thing for the Moabites. He who flees from the terror shall fall into a pit. He who climbs out of the pit shall be caught in the snare. For I will bring these things upon Moab, the year of their punishment, declares he who is. So everything's going to go wrong. In the shadow of Heshbon, fugitives stop without strength, for fire came out from Heshbon, flame from the house of Sihon. It has destroyed the forehead of Moab, the crown of the sons of tumult. Woe to you, O Moab! The people of Chemosh are undone, for your sons have been taken captive, your daughters into captivity. Those are the ones that they didn't kill. They didn't burn up in their worship services. Those kids are being taken away. And yet I will restore the fortunes of Moab in the later days, declares he who is. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. Now that's not a reference to the country Moab, but rather to the people of Moab. And we'll see this from place to place in the Old Testament prophecies, that all the different ethnic groups are going to be offered salvation through the Messiah, salvation through the restoration of all things, so that there will be Moabites in glory, in eternity, because that ethnic group, at least some of the descendants from it, will embrace Yehoshua as HaMashiach, Jesus as Messiah. Now, Moab today is actually located, I believe it's the northern part of it is in Jordan, and the southern part of it is in Saudi Arabia, perhaps? It might all be in Jordan. There are Jordanian peoples and Arab peoples that probably carry the Moabite bloodline that still exists today. Chapter 49 turns to the brother nation of the Moabites. That's the Ammonites. They lived to the north and a little bit east of Moab. Concerning the Ammonites, thus says he who is, has Israel have no sons? Has he no heir? Why then has Milcom dispossessed Gad and his people settled in its cities? Now, Milcom is another variation on Molech, or the king god of the Ammonites. So the questions being asked here is, what are Ammonites doing in old Israeli territory? That is, northern kingdom of Israel. Gad, Reuben, half-tribe of Manasseh, they all lived on the east side of the Jordan River in the former territory of the Amorites. But now that they are gone into Assyrian exile, apparently the Ammonites moved in. And God's saying, why? Why is it that the people worshiping the destroyer king God have moved in to this area? Therefore, verse 2, behold, the days are coming, declares he who is, when I will cause the battle cry to be heard against Rabbah of the Ammonites, and it shall become a desolate mound, and its villages shall be burned with fire, and then Israel shall dispossess those who dispossessed him, says he who is. So this will be reversed at a future date. There is perhaps a little bit of that that happens during the time period between the returns under Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah and the time of Jesus. But the ultimate time that we will see this happen, I believe, is in the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ, when all this territory of the Middle East will belong to him, and he will settle on it his subjects, his people. Wail, O Heshbon, for Ai is laid waste. Cry out, O daughters of Rabbah, and these are all places inside the territory of Ammon, or the occupied territory we just mentioned. Put on sackcloth, lament, and run to and fro among the hedges, for Milcom shall go into exile with his priests and his officials. So this false god, this destroyer king god that is worshipped by causing children to pass through the fire, his idol is going into exile as well. Why do you boast of your valleys, O faithless daughter? Who will come against me? Well, behold, I will bring terror upon you, declares he who is the God of hosts, from all who are around you, and you shall be driven out, every man straight before him, with none to gather the fugitives. But afterwards, I will restore the fortunes of the Ammonites, declares he who is. Same thing that we saw about the Moabites. They're going to be trashed badly by invaders, the Babylonians, basically. Some of them will go into exile. Most of them will go into exile. But eventually, there will be a turnaround for some of these Ammonites, and they will embrace, some of them, the Jewish faith in the years prior to the New Testament period. But others of them will, after the New Testament period, embrace the Messiah and will become Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. And that will certainly restore their fortunes because they'll be in right relationship with God. The Jeremiah passage also goes back to Edom and warns them about judgment. Concerning Edom, thus says he who is of the hosts of the armies, is wisdom no more in Timan, a place in side of Edom? Has counsel perished from the prudent? Has their wisdom vanished? Flee, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time when I punish him. If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? If thieves came by night, would they not destroy only enough for themselves? Now that should sound familiar because that's Obadiah as well. But I have stripped Esau bare. I have uncovered his hiding place, and he is not able to conceal himself. His children are destroyed, and his brothers, and his neighbors, and he is no more. Leave your fatherless children. I'll keep them alive, and let your widows trust in me. So Edom's going to be taken down, and then it will be up to the survivors to turn to God for proper relationship so that they can be redeemed. Verse 12, for thus says he who is, if those who did not deserve to drink the cup must drink it, will you go unpunished? That's the cup of wrath. You shall not go unpunished, but you must drink. For I have sworn by myself, declares he who is, that Bozrah shall become a horror, a taunt, a waste, a curse, and all her cities shall be a perpetual waste. I have heard a message from he who is, and an envoy has been sent among the nations. Gather yourselves together, come against her, rise up for battle. For behold, I will make you small among the nations, despised among the peoples. Among mankind, the horror you inspire has deceived you, and the pride of your heart, you who live in the clefts of the rock, who hold the height of the hill. Though you make your nest as high as the eagles, I'll bring you down from there. Again, we hear things wording from the book of Obadiah. So all this is declared by he who is. Edom shall become a horror. Everyone who passes by it will be horrified and will hiss because of all its disasters, the destruction of all the cities and the depopulation. As when Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring cities were overthrown, says he who is, no man shall dwell there, no man shall sojourn in her. So it'll become so desolate, a lot of the areas will just be left wild. Behold, like a lion coming up from the jungle of the Jordan against a perennial pasture, I will suddenly make him run away from her, and I will appoint over her whomever I choose. For who is like me? Who will summon me? What shepherd can stand before me? Therefore hear the plan that he who is has made against Edom, and the purposes that he's formed against the inhabitants of Teman. Even the little ones of the flock shall be dragged away. Surely their fold shall be appalled at their fate, and at the sound of their fall the earth shall tremble, and the sound of their cry shall be heard at the Red Sea, that's down to the south. Behold, one shall mount up and fly swiftly like an eagle, and spread his wings against Bozrah, And the heart of the warriors of Edom shall be in that day like the heart of a woman in her birth pains. So everything's going to fall apart for the Edomites, just like it said in the book of Obadiah. Because Jeremiah is going through a whole list of places that judgment is coming against, he continues with another place concerning Damascus. So now we've moved to the north, to Syria. Hamat and Arpad are confounded, for they have heard bad news. They melt in fear. They are troubled like the sea that cannot be quiet. Now, Hamat and Arpad are to the north of Damascus, so they're going to hear bad news about Damascus. Damascus has become feeble. She turned to flee, and panic seized her. Anguish and sorrows have taken hold of her as a woman in labor. So you hear that theme going over and over again. We hear it in the New Testament about birth pangs. Trouble will come like birth pangs. So one moment, woman is just going on with her life, and the next moment, everything starts to be painful and hurtful. And so that's what's going to happen to Damascus. How is the famous city not forsaken, the city of my joy? Therefore her young men shall fall in her squares, and all her soldiers shall be destroyed in that day, declares he who is of the hosts. So this is judgment coming against Damascus for their sins. It's directed by God. It will be carried out by the Babylonians. I will kindle a fire in the walls of Damascus and shall devour the strongholds of Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad was a famous ancient king at Damascus, and so he was the one that built some of the original properties in the city of Damascus and fortified them, fortified the city with the walls, and so all that's going to be destroyed or broken when the Babylonians come through, carrying out the will of God for judgment of sin.